You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, friends, we're around 24 hours away from the UFC's first pay-per-view of the year, 24 hours away from the rematch from UFC 178 over 6 years in the making, and 24 hours away from the return of the biggest star in the sport, the notorious Conor McGregor, as we welcome you to the UFC 257 preview show here on MMAfighting.com. I am Mike Hack, being joined by Jose Youngs in Abu Dhabi, and from the Great White North, Mr. Alex K. Lee. And gentlemen, I am excited to talk this big night for the lightweight division, this big event for the UFC. But first, I got to let everybody know that the UFC 257 preview show is brought to you by ESPN Plus. Because like we just said, Conor McGregor makes his long-awaited return in a rematch against Dustin Poirier at UFC 257 tomorrow night, only on ESPN Plus. UFC 257 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99, or you can sign up now to get UFC 257 and an annual ESPN Plus plan for just $89.98. So if you do the math, you get the pay-per-view plus for an extra $19.99, you get a full year of ESPN Plus. Visit ESPNplus.com/. UFC 257 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99, or you can sign up now to get UFC 257 and an annual ESPN Plus plan for just $89.98. So if you do the math, you get the pay-per-view plus for an extra $19.99, you get a full year of ESPN Plus. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPV to order UFC 257. All right, Jose, it is finally here. And I'm not talking about the final event from this trip to Fight Island. I know you're excited about that, but Conor is back for the over Donald Cerrone a year ago. He takes on the man he put away in the first round at UFC 178. I'm curious because you're there. You got to see it live. We got a press conference with some fans. We got official weigh-ins. We had ceremonial weigh-ins and face-offs with fans. We certainly have a long way to go to normalcy, but did this fight week in general, especially the last 48 hours or so, did it feel a little more normal? Did it feel like there was a bit more of a buzz in the air, so to speak?
It's a good question. Normal in terms of it's as normal as it can get during a pandemic. I think we were talking about this, like me and Oscar of the Mac Life. Like, the only thing really missing from a normal fight week this week was the open workouts. Obviously, media day, we didn't have like the old style media day with the fighters and all the chairs. We'd walk around getting one-on-ones and everything. We had like the media day, like a fight night where they sit in front of a group of mics and answer questions like press conference style, which I actually kind of prefer sometimes, especially when we have like a lot of seats now in this pandemic era. So still a little bit of ways from normalcy in 2021, but compared to the last 10 months, this is as close to normal as I've felt covering an event, that's for sure.
AK, this whole week, the ABC card this past Saturday, Wednesday's card, they were essentially appetizers for tomorrow night. UFC 257 get the rematch between Dustin Poirier and Conor McGregor. I want to touch on this right off the bat because one of the narratives heading into this fight is, you know, Conor already put this man away. The mental advantage is clearly there, which in some people's opinion is why the line has moved so much in the McGregor camp, as much as a 3-1 favorite in some cases. So heading in, sure, this first fight is always part of the story, but how much stock at this point do you put in that win from over 6 years ago at UFC 178?
Mike, I'm gonna cheat here a bit and just parrot some talking points that Daniel Cormier made. You know, hey, he's a great analyst, steal from the best, I say. He made some of these points yesterday at Thursday's media day for the coaches and for the UFC broadcasting talent. He was saying it can go both ways. You know, on the one hand, yes, there's that lingering doubt of, man, this guy beat me before. You know, but it was a first round finish. It was a quick finish, which is discouraging in its own way. In another way, if you're a fighter, I think you can, you know, do some gymnastics in your head and say, well, I got caught. You know, if I made it out of the first round, if I made it past the second round, I really feel confident I could have beat him. Everybody gets caught. It just wasn't my day. He was a better man on that day. Plus, anyone heading into the second fight, you want to assume that it's the person who lost the first one comes in with a little more motivation. They're the ones with more to prove. Not to say that McGregor will be overlooking Poirier in any way. The fight was so long ago, 6 years ago. It was in a different weight class. They're different in many ways, similar in many ways. But I think McGregor and his team are smart enough to not think like, well, even though they're predicting a fast finish, I think it's because they've taken the preparation seriously and because they still view him as such a respectable opponent. So but I do think the mental aspect is huge. It's impossible to predict how much it will actually affect Poirier until we see it happen. This is just like all the Cerrone talk, you know, before last January's fight with McGregor, where I didn't think the mental aspect would be that big. And afterwards, a lot of people pointed out that it may have been a factor, and it was hard to argue against it. So, you know, we won't know, but it's absolutely worth discussing. And yes, we just don't know if it will be motivation and provide extra drive for Poirier, or if it is that sort of thing in the back of his head that could lead to his folly.
Jose, there's been a lot of talk about the improvements Dustin Poirier has made over the years. And yes, Conor has improved as well since UFC 178. But I want to get your take on this, because there's one aspect of Dustin's game that has gotten so much better that I think is flying under the radar heading into tomorrow night. It's his composure, especially when he gets himself in danger. Like, prime example was that second round against Dan Hooker, because Hooker had him in big, big trouble in that round of the year. And honestly, if the Dustin Poirier who fought Conor, or even the Dustin from like 4 years ago, is in that same predicament, probably would have gotten finished in that spot. But Dustin stayed calm. He stayed composed. He got out of the round and then went on to win the fight. So sure, the skills have improved, but being able to stay cool in those tough spots, I think this is a severely undervalued trait of Poirier's heading into tomorrow night. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I would agree. He's definitely matured both in and out of the octagon, and so is Conor. I don't know the genesis of this maturity or the calmness or coolness, like you said. Maybe it's the fact that the worst, like, can't get worse. Like, he got choked out by Khabib in a title unification fight, and before that, he got knocked out by Conor in the first round when Conor said he was going to knock him out in the first round. That really kind of lit the fuse of the McGregor hype train. Well, I guess the Dublin card did, and then it spiraled up from there with the first Dustin Poirier knockout. So maybe he's like, the worst case scenario is out of the way. Like, I've been humiliated on the biggest stage, and it can only go up from here. And also, he doesn't hate Conor. Like, he's like you've all seen the clip. Like, I've never disliked someone more in my entire life. Like, and that's not the same Dustin Poirier. Like, they're sharing hot sauce and whiskey now, and they're both, like, as Conor said in one interview, and I asked them all this at the press conference, like, yeah, they got better in the octagon and they got mature and they're grown men. They're also dads now. So it's like, having a kid, you got to mature real quick. And so they're both dads to young kids. So yeah, completely different men. They both have bigger things they're fighting for. So I just think they're viewing this as just the peak of competitiveness. There's no animosity between them. So I think that helps. But yeah, I don't know where – I don't know. I never asked Dustin about it. Maybe he just went to a sports psychiatrist or something and just got his head on right. But yeah, you're not wrong. Mature Dustin Poirier, calm Dustin Poirier, is a dangerous, dangerous cat.
AK, of course, and this is – no disrespect to Dustin Poirier and his team, but this is the Conor McGregor show. He's the biggest star in the history of the sport. He's been off for a year. You know, he wanted to stay active in 2020. He wants to fight three or four times in 2021. He's getting himself a pretty stiff test here. Like, no offense to the legendary cowboy, but this is not Donald Cerrone he's fighting. This is a hungry game Dustin Poirier, who has gone on to put away Anthony Pettis. He put away Justin Gaethje, Eddie Alvarez. He beat Max freaking Holloway in a 5-round fight, which, if you watch the fight this past Saturday, you know how crazy and important that is. Conor, obviously the heavy favorite coming in based on the odds, but based on where you personally line this fight, like, in your own mind, do you feel like Poirier is getting disrespected? Do you think he's getting a little bit overlooked heading into tomorrow night?
Yeah. I think he's getting plenty disrespected. I think I'm not saying, you know, the current line, which I think is hovering around 3-1, 3-1 favorite for McGregor. I'm not saying that it's unrealistic, but it certainly is bulletin board material for Poirier, who is a much more accomplished fighter than McGregor is at 155 pounds. You know, yes, they both came from featherweight. Yes, McGregor defeated Poirier when they first fought just 6 years ago. It matters. Like I said, as we discussed earlier, no matter what, that's a fight that is going to have a lingering effect. But it was 6 years ago. Yes, McGregor's a two-division UFC champion. But, I mean, Poirier won an interim lightweight title, and this is the toughest division of the sport. So there is a little bit of disrespect there. He's fought better competition, I think you can maybe argue, than McGregor has. He's fought more frequently, I guess it's fair to say, and against top shelf competition. So I don't know how many people there are out there that think, you know, Poirier is necessarily going to get blown out. I guess I'll, you know, reveal my own prediction later. But if there is anyone out there that thinks this is just like a complete, you know, oh, it's just going to be a rerun of their first fight, but maybe quicker, like McGregor is saying it's going to be. I think that's a bit off base. Poirier again is as good as almost as good as anyone that McGregor could fight right now at 155 pounds.
There's one more thing I want to ask both of you guys about before we get to our picks, because this fight's been broken down like crazy. But Jose, obviously the title being in the conversation, we're all very aware of what is at stake tomorrow night in terms of like what's being presented to us. Like the winner of this bout will more than likely find themselves in a title fight the next time they walk to the octagon. Against whom? That is up in the air. But when you have a fight like this in a division like this, you cannot afford to take a backward step at all, especially with all these contenders coming up. So when you have a guy like Conor, there's so many options for him. Like, he garners so much buzz and attention. He's a massive superstar. So if he loses tomorrow, unless he gets knocked down like 10 seconds or something, it stings, but it's not the end of the world. How much does this set Poirier back in this division if he loses to Conor McGregor again tomorrow night?
It depends entirely on how he loses and if he loses. Because, like, what did Dan Hooker win his last fight? No. Where's Dan Hooker now? The co-main event of a Conor McGregor pay-per-view. So it matters completely how you win and lose and your perform. It is very much a performance-based sport. Like, we've talked a million times. Like, how many times have we done preview shows or pre-fight Q&As or post-fight shows, and we've said, like, he may have lost, but he definitely gained a lot of fans. He didn't fall in the rankings or whatever. He looked great even in defeat. Like, it 100%, if he goes out there and loses in 60 seconds like Conor did, that is devastating, especially if he shows no sort of offense and just crumbles to Conor again. That's awful. If he goes out there and fights like Dan Hooker, or he fights like he did against Anthony Pettis, or he just goes out guns blazing as fight of the year candidate again and he loses, I mean, he Conor is building up Dustin so much in this fight that we're expecting this war, and it's like we've said a million times, that why put your opponent down? Because then if you look bad, you're looking bad to a bum. Dustin Poirier's not a bum. Conor McGregor knows that, and he's building him up, because if this fight, I firmly believe Conor isn't going in there expecting to win in 60 seconds. He's expecting the toughest fight of his career. Dustin's never looked better. He's massive. He's like 180, 190 pounds on Saturday. So yeah, it's Dustin goes out there and fights an epic war like he has, like against Justin Gaethje, against Eddie Alvarez, against Dan Hooker. He's not losing any sort of momentum, and I firmly expect him to have a pick of the litter if he comes back again. But the fight has to happen. He could very well win, and this is all just hypothetical.
Right. What do you think about that, AK? Like, what we know that a potential title shot is at stake for both these guys, but maybe legacy wise, where they stand in this division, like, what is at stake for Dustin outside of a possible title shot? And you know what? What do you think is at stake for Conor here, considering the options that are on the table?
I think for Poirier, it would hurt a lot to lose to McGregor again. I mean, I can't imagine that he even thought he was ever going to get this fight again. You know, so in some ways, it's almost like a bonus. You know, it materialized because of some of the chaos that was happening with between McGregor and Dana White and McGregor and the UFC. And, you know, Poirier and McGregor kind of just seized upon that opportunity to, you know, try and make a fight for themselves for charity. And then it just, you know, turned into an actual UFC rematch, which is fine. But I think now that Poirier has it, I think to lose to McGregor twice, and I'm sure going to their first fight, even as when they were both younger men, I'm sure Poirier was 100% sure. He never thought for a second he would lose to Conor McGregor. And I'm sure he has the same confidence now. He's probably doubling down. There's no way I'm going to lose twice to this guy. There's just no possible way. So I don't know how badly it's going to affect him in the rankings or in the eyes of the matchmakers. He's such a popular fighter. He probably goes from losing a pay-per-view to headlining a fight night, which is not the worst thing in the world, right? But personally, I have to imagine it would set him back. He's a mentally strong guy. He always says all the right things after wins, after losses. But I know internally, I can only imagine as a high level athlete to kind of falter in that sort of situation twice, what kind of psychological damage that would do to him. I think it'd be really, really difficult to get through. I think we might see him take a break if he happens to lose the fight, regardless of how it happens. Decision, KO, I think we see him take a little bit of a break, maybe come back after the summer or something like that. I hope that's not the case. This is, I know, an odd bit of pessimism for me. As for McGregor, yes, there's a lot of line with the win, but for him, there's always just so many possibilities. I mean, his name is so big. He keeps saying he might go box Pacquiao. He'll always have a Paul brother fight in his back pocket, so he decides to do that. So it'll hurt him for sure. It'll hurt him, but he's always one fight away, one quote away, one call out away from getting himself back to the top. So it all depends what he wants to do. If he's serious about actually competing as a UFC dedicated UFC lightweight, then a loss will hurt a little bit more. If it's just lip service, the loss is almost meaningless to his grand plans.
Yeah, he could always run it back with Dustin a third time if he loses. So, I mean, that's another option on the table. But it's time for the big decision, the picks, AK. We're going to begin with you. Can Dustin Poirier negate the loss that has been attached to him for years? Or does Conor McGregor go 2-0 in this series? What do you think?
This is not meant to be disrespectful to Poirier. Again, as I said earlier, I think he's better. I think he's being a little bit overlooked by people who are, you know, with the casual money that's coming in. But I do think he gets finished again. I think he makes it out of the first round this time. But I just think McGregor's offense is so potent. I really think he's one of the best finishers. I'll go as far as say he's maybe one of the best finishers we've seen at 155 and 145, if you want to go there. He has a knack for finishing fights. Call it the power of the left, the magical left, whatever hyperbole you want to use. He puts guys away. And Poirier gets hit a lot in his fights. I don't know if he can withstand taking a lot of damage from McGregor. There's a lot of things strategically he could do, but I feel like, again, you know, all fights down on the start on the feet. I think he's going to want to test the striking of McGregor, and I think it might cost him. So I'm going really specific with this one. I think a somewhat competitive first round with the edge to McGregor, and then McGregor finishes in round two.
What do you think, Jose?
I don't know. This is probably one of the harder fights I've picked in a long time. I think this is a 50-50 fight for me. I was leaning towards Conor, but after speaking with Daniel Cormier at the UFC media day, where he was breaking down Dustin's skills, specifically his boxing, like his check right hook and everything, he really did play me, like, especially when Dustin got in the stare downs today. Like, Conor does a thing where he gets down, he gets real low, and he poses, and he tries to get his opponent's face. And yeah, it's all good fun, but Dustin did it right back to him. Like, he did not back down. Cowboy looked like he thought it was all funny, and he was taking – Conor was acting like he had won just getting the fight, if that makes sense. Like, getting the fight was the big win. Dustin is taking this so seriously. He has a great camp, probably the best camp in the world. Mike Brown has had him locked in all week. I've seen them running every single day over here at the hotel. And I'm going to pick Dustin. And I don't know if the trilogy happens right away, but it happens eventually. I don't want to say a knockout, but I just think Dustin is clicking on all cylinders right now. Like he said, a million interviews, it's the healthiest he's ever been after his hip surgery. It's his last fight against Dan Hooker. Like, because we've talked about it, like the old Dustin Poirier would have faltered against Dan Hooker. The old Dustin Poirier was basically fighting on one leg with that damaged hip. So full health, Poirier, dad Poirier. Like motivated, focused Poirier, whatever you want to call him. I just think this is one of the more dangerous fights that Conor could have. A hyper durable, massive lightweight who can hit hard and take a lot of damage. I'm going to pick Poirier.
I'm going to lean Conor. I mean, obviously, I think Dustin has improved so much to become not a really good fighter, but I think Dustin's a great fighter. His composure, his defense has just gotten so much better over the years, as I've alluded to already. But it's just a different ball game when Conor touches you. Now, it's no secret, if this gets to the championship rounds, things get very, very interesting. But Conor has proven that he can go five rounds. Like, maybe he's not, you know, at 100% win capacity, but Conor can hang in there and use that heart and will to get him out of tough spots. So I do think Conor does get him out of there before that. But if you're looking at this from like a betting perspective, if you wanted to take a shot on Poirier and hope that maybe his game plan is a little more wrestling heavy and gets this thing to the mat, I will not blame you whatsoever. So give me Conor, but I will say that my confidence level isn't as high as most people out there. That is for sure. As we take a gander at the co-main event, another important fight at 155 pounds. You got Dan Hooker welcoming Michael Chandler to the UFC. And we sort of touched on this, AK, during the weigh-in show. But this narrative that Michael Chandler is getting this massive step up in competition fighting Dan Hooker, who is an excellent fighter, I'm not buying into that. I'm not buying into that at all. What say you?
Well, some of that narrative was kind of created by Chandler himself. Hasn't he been kind of saying stuff like, well, one of the things he said was, you know, the whole time I was training for my opponents in Bellator, I was training for the best in the world, and that's in the UFC. And I know he was probably speaking like specifically more about like Khabib or big names, but it did make it sound like he was a little bit acknowledging, you know, the narrative that the Bellator competition isn't up to the par of the UFC competition. So kind of self-inflicted. But yeah, look, this is the match that a lot of us wanted. I mean, we all, I think for Chandler, we speculated, you know, after he was picked as an alternate for the Khabib Gaethje fight. And then we all said, well, what could they actually do with him? We said Hooker was a top option. We said like Paul Felder. I think Charles Oliveira was certainly a name that had come up. So Hooker was the right call. So it's the right call stylistically for a fun debut for him. Is it a favorable debut for him? I'm not sure who I would favor Chandler against. Maybe Paul Felder. Maybe you might have favored him in that matchup. This is going to be a really difficult welcome to the UFC.
Jose, I think with the styles these guys each bring to the table, the things they each do really, really well, it's really excellent matchmaking here. Like, each guy presents great challenges to the other. Like, Chandler's wrestling could certainly give Hooker a ton of issues tomorrow night. While Hooker has these like perfectly timed sneaky knees up the middle that could thwart all of that. He's long, he's crisp on the feet, volume striker. Both guys possess a lot of power as well. What are your thoughts on this co-main event?
I think this is the worst matchup that Michael Chandler could have had in terms of stylistic matchup and just the person standing, like the hype around it. Like, I love this fight. Like, I think this is good. This is like, in terms of who he could have fought, this is way up there for like my top choices he could have. But like Dan Hooker said a million times, he's not the biggest name compared to everyone in the top five or at lightweight. He's has the worst stylistic. He's tall. He's rangy. He has knees. He has great striking. He's hard. You can get takedown, but it's hard to keep him down. So I think this is an awesome fight, but it's the worst possible matchup for Michael Chandler to have. And I actually think Michael Chandler likes that. Like, he likes the big test right away. And like, looking at like the whole thing of like Michael Chandler getting a big step up in competition, I think it's true in recent fights. Like, I would favor Dan Hooker against Benson Henderson. I'd favor Dan Hooker against Sidney Outlaw. Patricio Pitbull is an anomaly, I think. I just think he's one of the best fighters on planet Earth at featherweight, lightweight. And I even think he could go to bantamweight. Brent Primus, I'd favor Dan Hooker. I'd favor Dan Hooker. Brandon, what, Gertz? Who else did he fight? Primus, I know he had that weird calf kick thing. So, but I still favor Chandler in the rematch, as like I did in the first fight. Patricky Pitbull, David Rickles, Eric Campos, like all those guys, I would favor Dan Hooker over. So this is a tough test. Dan Hooker's in the prime of his career. He had a lot of octagon time for only two fights, two epic wars. Whether that took a toll on him, I'm not quite sure yet. Dan Hooker is, as he called this fight, three rounds is a holiday for him at this point. Five-round war against Paul Felder, five-round war against Dustin Poirier. I favor Dan Hooker. Michael Chandler's awesome. I don't think a loss is going to hurt his credibility too much, especially if he lasts all three rounds. You saw what happened to Eddie Alvarez. He loses to Cowboy Cerrone. Still goes on a run and finishes RDA and gets the big Conor fight. So Michael Chandler losing still adds a lot of fun matchups to the lightweight division. A win, I am pretty confident he could get a title fight right after that. Maybe the Khabib fight, highly, highly doubt it. I give it a 0.5% chance. Khabib comes back, maybe he gets the Conor fight, maybe he gets the Poirier fight, maybe he gets the Gaethje fight. But man, Chandler does not have an easy task ahead of him. I'd favor Dan Hooker just based on his last few performances for sure. But this fight absolutely rules, and I am so excited for it.
You made some interesting points there, Jose. Before we get to your pick, AK, because it looks like Jose is leaning towards Dan Hooker, much like we discussed earlier, you cannot afford to take any steps back in this division right now, because not only are there a lot of guys in the conversation, there's guys in the pipeline. We got a couple of weeks from now, we got Diego Fajeda and Beneil Dariush about to fight. They're going to put themselves right in the mix with the win. There's Charles Oliveira. There's Justin Gaethje out there. Possibly Nate Diaz is out there, although we haven't heard much from Nate on that aspect, if at all. So I guess my question is, AK, no matter who wins this fight, is a win enough here to get to where these guys want to go?
Well, I mean, gosh, Mike, it's so hard to say, because again, we don't know where they want to go. Is they want a lightweight title shot. and the picture should be a lot clearer than it is. Again, you know, I'm of the belief that UFC 257 should have been headlined by a title fight, whether it be they vacate the belt, take it off Khabib, and just give it to the winner of McGregor Poirier. I would have been fine with that. If they want to keep futzing around with the Khabib situation and then just do an interim title, a little less appealing, but I'd still be fine with that. And then essentially Chandler and Hooker is a number one contenders bout, tentatively a number one bout, because I do feel like, depending what happens with Charles Oliveira, what happens with Justin Gaethje, again, Nate Diaz possibly coming back and just stealing the spotlight, the UFC could go a lot of ways with who they decide would be opposite Poirier or McGregor in a lightweight title, a future lightweight title fight. So I don't know. It's because we don't know what direction the lightweight title is in. It's impossible for us to say if a win puts the fighters in that direction. We just don't know. But ideal scenario, it's a realistic scenario where I don't think Khabib comes back. I do think the title's eventually vacated. I think the winner of Chandler and Hooker, depending on how it goes, probably still one fight away. I don't know if they necessarily automatically get the McGregor and Poirier winner. That's how I would do it to keep it simple. But again, there's other names out there, other options. The UFC has a way of making things more complicated than they need to be for a variety of reasons. I'm not quite ready to put the stamp on the co-main event as a number one contender's bout, even though it's positioned perfectly to be so.
Yep, I do agree with everything you're saying. I think it's kind of highlight reel or bust if you want to skip the queue, so to speak. But Jose is going with Dan Hooker. Do you have a certain method, Jose? We got a decision. You think he gets a finish? What do you think?
Yeah, I would say a decision. Michael Chandler is tough as nails. Yeah, he's been finished. And the Will Brook losses look worse and worse every day. I'm sorry, Mike, but it's true. Decision. I think it's going to be a good fight. I don't think Michael Chandler is going to be out of his element whatsoever. I think it's going to be similar to the Dan Hooker Felder fight, where I think a lot of people thought Dan Hooker won that fight, but it was really close. So I think I'm gonna pick a competitive decision for Dan Hooker. Five rounds. So I think he could finish in five rounds. I think he could finish him in five rounds just based on the amount of damage he can accrue over time. But three rounds, I'm gonna say competitive 3-round decision for Dan Hooker.
So as of right now, AK, Dan Hooker is a slight favorite at around a -140. Comeback on Michael Chandler at around +120, but it's lined very close no matter where you go to for your betting odds. Are you going with the favorite, Dan Hooker, AK, or are you going with the former Bellator lightweight champ?
I'm definitely going with the favorite. I understand why the line is close. Chandler's credentials speak for themselves. He's a lightweight with a lot of knockout power. I mean, again, he's a small guy, compact, but boy, and again, that compact frame packs a lot of punch when he lands one of those haymakers. He's a good striker, powerful wrestler, great athlete, all that good stuff. Everything you want to see in a top five, top 10 lightweight. But I do lean towards, I am going with the favorite. I'm going with Hooker. I think this is, again, if it's a striking matchup, which it probably will be for the most part, very hard for me to bet against Hooker in almost any situation, unless he's fighting like a Poirier or like an Edson Barboza or something like that. He's such a great striker. He's going to have a very significant size reach advantage, so that can't be discounted. And I also think he'll come out to a fast start, which might be a little bit of an issue for Chandler. And it's funny, Jose kind of touched upon a 5-round fight. It's a shame it isn't 5 rounds, because I could see Chandler almost having like a dropping the first 2 rounds and then coming on strong in the third. And if there was 2 more rounds, maybe having a chance to bring it back like Poirier did in the Hooker fight. It is not a 3-round fight. So I think Hooker will win the first two. And if he doesn't win the third, it doesn't matter. He's going to take the decision. So I'll go Hooker by decision as well.
It's a really tough fight to pick for me, because both guys are really good. Both guys have big fight experience, although Chandler has had probably more experience on that end. Yeah, it was on Bellator, wasn't on as big of a stage, but, and I know a lot of people look at the Patricio Pitbull fight and how that went down. And yes, that was very impressive, but if they fought again, I don't think it goes down that way. I would lean towards Pitbull from like an odds and a pick perspective, but I have a hard time believing he would get KO'd in the first round again. And look, Hooker has ways to win this fight, but you know how I make my picks. I go on my gut, and my gut is telling me that Chandler has a little bit more in the toolbox to get it done. It could be a boring win, and because of that, I will lean with Chandler to grind out a unanimous decision, but I don't think it's going to be the type of win where the matchmakers and Dana White and the fans are going to be hankering for Michael Chandler to get into a title fight right away. But I see him in a position where if he wins one more against a guy like a Gaethje or an Oliveira, he'll get there. But man, I think this is going to be a really, really competitive fight. But I think Chandler just has a little more in the toolbox to get it done. Now, if he that first shot's going to tell us a lot. If Hooker can avoid it and pummel and get away from it, power to him. This could be a rough night for Chandler, but if he gets an early takedown and builds that confidence, it could be a tough night for Dan Hooker. But I love the matchup. I'm leaning Chandler, but ever so slightly. But there has been a shuffle up to this card. Nasrat Haqparast fell ill, so he's out of his fight with Arman Tsarukyan. Otman Azatar has been pulled from his fight with Matt Frivola. And to add to that, Dana White told not only UFC Arabia, but BT Sport as well, that Azatar has been cut from the UFC because he and his team violated safety protocols. And according to Dana White, Azatar and his team cut their wristbands and they handed them to somebody else outside of the zone who then snuck in past security and scaled balcony. It's just a crazy story. It was all caught on film, but he's out. What a stupid mistake that was. But Frivola is going to remain on the card. Luckily, he's going to fight Tsarukyan in the featured prelim. He's going to get 20% of Tsarukyan's purse because he missed weight. And as a result, Andrew Sanchez versus Mahmoud Muradov is the main card opener to join the main and the co-main. Joanne Calderwood versus Jessica Ai. Marina Rodriguez versus Amanda Hiba. So now we go to the under-the-radar fight, fighter, or storyline heading into UFC 257. AK, we will begin with you. What you got?
You know, I've been kind of touting the Brad Tavares, Antonio Carlos Jr. battle of middleweight gatekeepers. I'm fascinated by that narrative. But now I'm really looking forward to this newly formed Matt Frivola, Arman Tsarukyan matchup. I like the Frivola Azaitar matchup. That was a neat one for sure. And maybe more something to be more of a stand-up affair. Now we really got to see how Frivola's wrestling defense is, because Tsarukyan is like, it's just wrestling and groundwork. So I'm really interested now in seeing how this one turns out. I don't like it for Frivola. I think he had a little bit more of a chance against Azatar, but hey, you know what, this is such a weird circumstance. He's also giving up a pound, by the way. Tsarukyan did not he came in at 159 originally, came in again later, came in at 157. So I guess I wonder if that either minimized the amount of penalty he would have to pay, or just made it so that Frivola would accept the fight in the first place. Maybe the 3 pounds was too much. So that's another thing to factor in. But hey, look, what a story it would be if Frivola can get the win here. He wasn't able, he's had a bunch of delays and cancellations and postponements. He's a fighter who's really talented. It just hasn't had a chance to show. It just hasn't had a chance to step into the octagon. So if he can pull off this upset against Tsarukyan, it would be huge. Either way, I think it'll be a fun fight. I think it'll be some good scrambles. Tsarukyan may eventually assert himself, but it's one to keep an eye on. And it's kind of cool that even though it's this weird catchweight fight that came out of nowhere, that they have moved it into the coveted featured prelim.
Jose, what do you got?
Mike, I'll ask you a question. I'll answer your question with a question. Of the last 15 years, who is the 15, 20 years? Who's the best boxer of those last years?
Floyd Mayweather.
Bingo. And what would you say if I told you a young prop fighter with a double digit win streak was managed by said best boxer of the last 15 years? What would you say to that?
If I didn't already know where you were going with this, I would say, tell me more, Jose, tell me more.
Well, I'm glad you asked, Mike. Let me enlighten you. Of course, AK has never watched 1 second of boxing. He still thinks Muhammad Ali was called Cassius Clay when he passed away. Mahmoud Muradov is managed by one Floyd Mayweather. He is part of the money team. He reps it all of the time. I've seen him around this hotel, and he is open to talk about it at all times. He also happens to be a phenomenal fighter. So I don't think this is all hype. He was bumped from the prelims to the main card. We were doing the weigh-in show, and that was my prediction just based on the connection to Mayweather. They're clearly high on the guy because he's had a bunch of fights fall out, including a Kevin Holland fight. And we all know Kevin Holland, like a lot of people picked him to be fighter of the year, a breakout fighter of the year of 2020. And that's how big Mahmoud Muradov is, because they're giving him these big fights so early on into his career. So I am very excited for that. He's fighting Andrew Sanchez, who is a tough guy, ultimate fighter winner. I think he won his last fight, I think, against Wellington Thurman. I always get the Vittori and Wellington fights mixed up. I don't know which one was first, which one came after, but like has a lot of wins over tough durable guys like Marcus Perez and Trevor Smith and Khalil Roundtree, who's on this card too. So Makhmud Muradov and Andrew Sanchez is the one I would circle based solely on the intrigue around Muradov. And Andrew Sanchez, of course, is always a fun fight. So that is for sure my fight people need to pay attention to outside of the main and co-main event.
Yeah, fireworks wise, I completely agree with you. I love this, the fact that this is kicking off the main card. And as soon as we found out there's going to be some shuffling, this is the fight that I wanted to get the bump up, and it did. I'll be shocked if this thing doesn't deliver the goods. But overall, I'm going with Marina Rodriguez versus Amanda Ribas. This is a stiff test for Amanda. I know a lot of people, they wanted to see the Carla Esparza matchup. Personally, I want to see one more win before she gets a fight like that, because Esparza just thrives being in that position to knock these hype trains off the tracks. And I didn't want to see that happen so quickly to Amanda. I really liked the Watterson matchup, but I feel like this fight with Rodriguez is a tougher fight than the Watterson fight. It's a perfect litmus test to see how good Amanda Ribas really is. The UFC is a lot invested in her. They see her as a potential star. We saw it on the first fight, Allen Tripp, in July. I love this fight. And to me, especially on a Conor card and what's in the co-main event, this one is flying big time under the radar. And I'm really looking forward to that. But with that said, Jose, get some sleep, my man. Just one more event. Just one more event. And then you're off to the airport and you get to head on back to the United States. But AK, great job as always. And all that's left is for these guys and gals to get in the octagon and throw down for our entertainment. But don't forget, we'll have our pre-show Q&A with all of you tomorrow at 6:30 Eastern time, right before the prelims kickoff. So we hope to see you all there. Of course, Jose will have all the scrums.